Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:48 Central African time, and that time of the morning, baby, join our very own counselor, Amma Ghafarak, who walks the talk and was a very, very popular amongst the people of the Ummah. Yes, not only the Ummah, even those around the Isi Zulu say, Ha Kanjan Baba. He say, Yapil. Our very own Amma Ghafarak, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Amma?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah ta'ala. What a beautiful, shining Sunday morning, Shafaq.
Amla, good to have you, Amla, with a beautiful spirit in you and walking the talk, you know, someone that we also embrace and celebrate for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talking about what's going around, the reality of this, we have come into the dunya, we're going to leave. And, before we go to the news, let's talk about our kafan dafan. Now, what's the latest on that, Amla?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, sister, the dafan kafan site at the moment is very, very quiet, you know. The normal, we're not having any accidents or anything, no major ones that we have to be alarmed with, where we should be worrying about, because there's not much bodies are going to the mortuary, Muslim bodies. Alhamdulillah, that is a very big plus factor. The normal natural causes deaths are taking place on an average one, two a day. So alhamdulillah, we make shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is protecting us. There's no accidents or anything at this stage. There's no bodies are going to the mortuary or anything like that we have to worry about, Shafaq.
You know, Ahmed, I was thinking aloud here. You know, this morning we had a young news reader that we have got in, and, you know, we noticed on the Islamic broadcasting side of it, we don't have too many young people coming in. But in your case, you know, alhamdulillah, you've made a mark. And have you trained anyone to be like Ahmed Parak, you know, looking at kafan dafan? And now once you've got into politics, you are very successful there. Indeed, as an administrator in the soccer field, you were a success. And wherever you went, you ticked the box. Have you trained, you know, you had this innate desire to do that, but or what are the, you know, the present scenario in that case?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, you know, even when I was the chairman of IBC for the last 25 years, I've been asking youngsters, guys, to come in to give them a role, what to play, how to start administration work, what to do, how to form contact, how to liaise with people in government department, how to work with the people on the ground, how to get the work done. But Shafaq, when it came to especially the dafan kafan work, you know, people in the beginning is like everything is like hunky-dory. They just want to run, they want to come. When we start working with them, picking up, and when they're getting the calls, they go to the hearse to go and pick up and start the work. And then sometimes they have to go to the mortuary when they see that how we bring the body out from the mortuary, and when we take it to the ghusl room, and then when they open the bodies, when they see the stitches from the neck right up to the navel, and the skull has been opened and it's been stitched, then they some of them even walk out from the ghusl room to say, no, this is not for me, you know, they can't take it and all that. So that is actually keeping them. But there's a lot of youngsters have joined, like, you know, Durban and Overport has got some youngsters, Bayview has got some nice youngsters. They are coming. So, you know, what we're doing is, you know, the organization is trying to train them into doing the natural work for, you know, when you got a natural death and then you got the unnatural one, and train them, some of them coming to, you know, also you must have, especially to do the dafan kafan work, you know, you must be level-headed, you must be able to do the work and say, you know what, whatever I'm doing, only for the pleasure of Allah, then the strength automatically will come to you and all that. You know, if you want to start showing off, you want to say, you know what, I'm going to do that because I've joined so-and-so organization, then you will have a fallout there. You're not going to make it. You must have a temperament to do this work, and you must be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, you know what, I'm going there especially to serve the community, and then you will see automatically you'll be able to get grips of this work and you'll be able to do the work.
You know, Ahmed, you made a very important point there. You have to be selfless, and your intention should be not to go and say, oh, you know me, I'm this, a member of this organization, I'm a member of that organization, you know, I'm a high-ranking member, and you flaunt your credentials in public. And, you know, perhaps these are the type of people, you know, it shouldn't be there because the intention is all not right. And as you said, if you you don't want to do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then ship out, Ahmad.
Yeah, that's how it is. But what we have started in Musgrave now, you know, and I compliment my learned friend Imran Bobat and Mufti Bakas, and we started a youth league, and from that youth league, and we are now last week we went into the street of Musgrave, cleaning all the streets of Musgrave and all that. So, and that youth league is starting to build up, and I've been speaking to Imran, you know, he's a lawyer too. I said, you know, the next session I want to have is to start bringing our youngsters in and show them the rope in politics, show them the rope, take them to like Bayview, Durban and Overport, to show them how and do some classes, get somebody to do some classes at the masjid, to do Qusar classes and all this. Will start bringing them in to the fold to show them how things are being done. And then slowly, once they're in the system, then you start opening the way for them to take them to all the government departments to say, you know what, this is so-and-so, that is so-and-so. And that is how it is. You know, yesterday we had the Action SA manifest. We had a small meeting yesterday from 9 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And I was shocked that, you know, in Kuala Guza, we got the youngest councillor is 29 years old. So, you know, that's the thing what we want. And that's what I've been telling Imran to bring our youngsters in. They have, you know, just finished matrix. They're looking for something to do. Bring them in, and then we can bring them into an organization and start training them. Because what we need in this country here is our youngsters, fresh blood going into the political field. Because end of the day, politics, it, you know, indirectly, at home you got politics. Outside in your business, you got politics. In everything, it is politics. So you have to get involved with politics to see how you can save and protect the deen and protect the rights of religion and right of culture, so that we get, you know, I was shocked, Shafat, I was reading on last week we approved. 17 million was approved, 17 million requests was put in. There's 32 organizations. And I was listening, and I was going through the paperwork, and I was listening to one or two of my colleagues before that they came on the budget. And we approved it. 5.5 million was approved. And this was for art and culture. Now you tell me, Shafarat, for art and culture, for our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have the Rabiul Awal time. And you mean to say we can't do something? And if we do a proper application through an organization, you know, to get 500,000-600,000 from the city is nothing. They will give you, providing you put all your paper. In that 32 application that was approved, not one Muslim organization have applied for money. And they were getting 400, 300, 100,000, 50,000. Whether it's 50,000 or 100,000 or 500,000, nobody will wait. And immediately I phoned Maulana Abdullah Khan from Jamatul Ulama, and I said, Maulana, and I read it. Read this whole thing with him. I said, art and culture, you mean to say in Islam we don't have art and culture, we can't claim this money? We can't be sleeping so much, Shafat. There is things there for the take, but we're doing nothing about it.
You know, what an ideal dawah opportunity that will be, you know, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as, you know, against racism, talking about the final sermon, only printing the final sermon of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, the white man is not superior to a black man, neither is a black man superior to a white man. He, you know, the Arab is not superior to a non-Arab, and the non-Arab is not superior to an Arab, and so forth. And we could do a dawah at such a high level that, Ahmad, yeah, perhaps... you know, you're onto something then. Allah bless you for bringing that to our attention. And, you know, that's why Allah put you there for a reason. And we should take this opportunity to conscientize the people about the deen. And only Islam can give the solutions to all the ills of mankind. Yes, and, you know, you think about all this leadership. You know, you get some young men that are born leaders. But in your case, you are building leaders for the future, Ahmad.
You know, that's what we have to do, Shafat. At the end of the day, you see, there's so much to be done in council level, province level, national level. You know, this is, you know, if anybody wants to get into politics, this is an ideal opportunity to get into politics, who is level-headed, who is prepared to serve the deen, and say, you know what, I want to become something in politics, and I will be able to protect our deen, protect the right of religion, right of culture for the Muslims in this country. There's an opportunity here. You will walk into 2024 election around the corner, form, you know, join my party, like Ashim is saying, who is, you know, a person that we're not going for money. We are going to save the country. That's what we are saying. Even yesterday meeting we had, we saying, you know what, for our grandchildren, what will happen? Where do they go? We can't go. You know, we born South African. We're not going anywhere, Shafat. We're staying here. So our grandchildren and everything, we need to give them proper protection from now. Put the right people in place there so they will be able to protect this country and make it better for everyone. 2024 is here. Actually, they say we're going all out. And Shafat, we will, you know, inshallah, I'm saying, by 2024, Action SA will be the second biggest party in the country, because our aim and object are very, very clear. We got a manifesto that to say that we want to make better for the South African, not for the Muslim, not for anybody, for making it better living condition in this country and making it easier to get proper education, hospitals, road, sanitation, water, lights. These are our objects, and we're going into the right direction. And you know, people are coming and saying that we are against foreign nationals. We are not against foreign nationals. Anywhere in the world you go into a country, you apply. You can't, this is not a freebie country. South Africa is the only country that you can come over here, and you're dictating to us whether you want to stay here, and you're insisting to our government and Home Affairs, and they pay bribes, and they pay bribes to the Home Affairs official, and they're getting, you know, you can't be in Glovo. You are a Muslim, Pakistani Muslim, but you're running under global aid. So you can't do that. So these are the things that we are faced with. So we're saying, make sure you come here, apply the proper way. There's a lot of alums I did paperwork for. There's a lot of people I helped them to do the paperwork in this country here. But proper legal papers, they got asylum papers, they got residency in South African residency, they got every paper by the book, and if they link, they go to Home Affairs, punch on the system, they are guaranteed the paperwork will say this. It will tell them non-residents, but they have got the paperwork in place, Shafat.
Yes, 8:07 Central African time, and I can tell you, Ahmed Paruk, I don't know if you listen to the news, but quite interesting to see what SARS is doing. You know, if you are defrauding them, and you know your name goes all over the world, Ahmed.
Yes, Shafat, at the moment, SARS is on the tail of every single one, and they are just doing sorting out all the compliances and everything at the moment. SARS is really on top of the game at the moment, and you saw the tax collection. They were over collected because, you know, they've got the right people there. They are employing the right people at the moment because they're building that infrastructure again, which was one time the best in the country, and it's happening again, Shafat.
Now, Ahmed, I give you full marks. You talk about, you know, one thing about Cyril Ramaphosa, although he's got that farm gate and he's got the dollar gate all, you know, over his head, but he's doing the right appointments, getting the right people and the right job, even the derator and so forth, people that are astute. Your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
Shafat, he's got the right people, and I think this dollar gate, I think it's going to be a big, you know, he's got a lot of answering to do on that sector. But he was very, very sharp in that what he did was he shifted the focus very, very quickly in terms of that by firing that the public protector. So, you know what happens is, you know, when the limelight shines on somebody, they try and shift the focus away from the people. And in fact, yesterday I was sitting in a meeting and I was listening to one of our speakers from Joburg by the name of Baloyi. He was ex-DA with the DA for about 8 years or so, and he explained me, and you know, he explained our organization, how what happens in if a person comes like in government in the ANC, and he's very very powerful, they give him the show, and yet that guy might only have standard 5 certification and everything, but when he finishes off, he finishes off like a millionaire, like a billionaire. How he does that, and he's very, very simple. And I was shocked when he itemized that thing exactly. And he said, they get a person, that guy is very, very good in he's got a support in Soweto in Ward 14. When they put him, when he's getting the support. Now, what they see of him, if before he goes away to another party, they grab him and they give him the show. He wins that ward. Outright, they're assisting to win that ward. He's under the banner of ANC. In no time, then he's got a shebeen. Then he became like a mafia in the area. He's left government. Today, he's got a fleet of 30, 40 of these taxis. And that's how they become, because that's how ANC groomed their people, and they did. And but in the end, they became mafia. Now that other person seeing this guy here only got standard 5, he was nothing. He only started politics, and today where he is, this is how what is happening at the moment in politics, Shepard.
Absolutely, Ahmed, and you hit the nail on the head, as you said, the cadre deployment, and it's they're making maja out of all this at the expense of the people. And you know, you sent me an article about how the citizens of this country have been actually defrauded by parliamentarians and those that have put in a position of power. Talk to us about that, Ahmed.
Shepard, you saw that list. It's about 1 to 17 or 1 to 20. All these guys, you know, everywhere. Now, these are top Iraqi guys. They're in government. Each one of them has been charged or have been suspended or he's got a case hanging and he had to be stepped aside. Now, what happens in cases like this? These guys, they have, you know, when you open a cage, what happens to that bird? It wants to fly because it's too long in their cage. That's what happened. Now, these guys, they didn't have, all of a sudden they saw there's an opportunity. Everybody else is taking, why stay out of this game yet? So this is it. He wants to be in the game. And this is what happened. And the long and the short of the thing here, in one of them, you don't look after them, especially in the community. One of them, you don't look after them, you're in trouble. And within them, you might have, in his group, 10 people. And that one, he's not happy with what he got, then you're in trouble. This is what happened to Ramaphosa. You saw Arthur Fraser. After when this thing happened, when he laid the charge, that dollar was stolen how many years ago? Now, why did he bring this thing up now? He knew when he was in power, he knew about it. Why did he bring it up now only? This is what happens in government at the moment, Shepard.
Yeah, and if you look at the government, everyone's got a skeleton in the closet. But moving on, we looked at Durban. The traffic flow was normal in Durban CBD and surrounding areas on Friday morning, Ahmed. And there was no sign of a possible shutdown as anticipated following social media posts threatening a shutdown in the protest against a recent fuel hike. But there were certain incidents that did take place, Ahmed. You know, sum that up for us, but relatively, it was quiet.
Yes, Shafad, I agree. In fact, you must be heard, my post went out too. It went viral. I sent it to my family and it went out viral. And what happened was, in my case was, when I found out the information, it was authentic, and we said, okay, fine, let me just tell my family. And I sent it on a voice note, which I should have never sent it on a voice note, just phone him and tell him this is a position. I sent it, and I thought it was only in the family group. So it went viral, but nevertheless, then what happens if when you send a message out in the community, and I told them, whatever I say, I always make sure that whatever I say, that is authentic, and then people know me for that. That I don't have a problem with that, because I make sure I get that from the right sources. When we that meeting was sometime in the morning. By the afternoon, the mayor have already sent up his bulletin to say that, you know what, they have put in a lot of things in place. So, and they haven't, you see, to do a march in the city, you have to apply to the city manager and to the metro police. And there was a lot of application, so there were all these things were denied. So therefore, there's no marches or anything took place or anything. And they had the army, they had the metro police, and they had SAPS. But there was, in Hammersdale, there was also the in some places in West Street, there was they've been dispersed from there because the manpower was dead. The intelligence did their work. So this is what happened. So there was a lot of companies did not open because they didn't want to take a chance. Because you know what happens is when things like this, in the morning, everything is quiet. When it starts 11, 12 o'clock, then you find problem when they're going home and all that. You know, some companies open and they see this, they form into groups and they start making noise and all that. This is what happens when you're having this shutdowns and all that. But this is, the game is still not over yet. They're just keeping quiet at the moment unless the government do something about this fuel prices, because if the fuel prices is not going to come down, and I've just been seeing the crude, Brent crude price is 123 rand dollar price at the moment. So I don't think in the near future the price is going to go down in a hurry. I don't know how they're going to sort it out, but they have to sort it out because, you know what, the people on the ground cannot afford the taxi fares anymore.
Yeah, Ahmed, there's also the allegation that the Russian crude oil is coming into this country, but instead of we benefiting from it, this government is selling it to neighboring states. What's your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
Shapan, the old government, whenever the price was, you know, if you saw the, I've been following these Brent crude prices, so, you know, I watch the dollar price, the Brent crude price, you know, the exchange every day. I follow it on a day-to-day basis. And I've been following this thing here. About, if you took about 3-4 months ago, the price was right down to like about $37 to $40 a barrel. Today, it's gone to 123 rand for a barrel dollars. Now, the thing is this, if it was the old government, they could have bought at $40 a barrel, and they had all those mines, redundant mines, and they used to store it there. And they used to, and internationally, if you deal with like Iran and all that, and you're doing on a monthly basis, you're doing 20, 30 shiploads to come to South Africa, they will do it. Because end of the day, they want to sell their product. The old government used to do that, but this government don't do that. What they do is, we manufacture the fuel here, with Sasol, but we send it to the neighboring countries. This is why we can't come in with our prices. If we do it, yeah, because we're refining it. Refine the fuel here in the country. We bring Brent crude here. We refine it here. It's supposed to be cheaper because we're refining it here. We're not bringing refined petrol from overseas. So I can't understand how, if you work it out, Shafat, after they take out the taxation and everything, how much it's supposed to have been. It shouldn't be more than 10 to 15 rand a liter for now. But I can't understand it gone. For 100 rand, you're only getting 4 liters at the moment, Shafat.
Absolutely, Ahmed, and very eloquent day indeed. And you look at the refineries, SAPREF has closed down here, and no one's buying it. I don't know what's going on there. And then I'm looking at a message on the screen, and it's Dawood. He says, "Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. I listened to motor assemblies the whole night. There is noise coming from there. What are they building? Are they building up pressure? These are motor assemblies on the work, and we in Sepingo Beach and surrounding areas at the mercy of all these big noises coming through. What do we do, Ahmed?" Ahmed, how do you respond to Dawood?
Shafat, from the first, from the 12th of February, from the 12th of April to date, motor assemblies have not been opened yet. All the component industries around motor assemblies are on short time. There is no work, no pay. from the 12th, even from the first flood to the second flood, all the systems have motus and leaves are non-functional, and everything works with robot. You know, you understand it. So they had to bring people from Japan to come and fix this infrastructure. We've been told at the municipality they will be in full production from the 15th of July. So there's a lot of work going there day and night to get the plant up and going, because you know how many motor assembly employees, a lot of people, Shafat. So this is, I imagine, from April 12th right to today, how on earth all those people are living, because there is no income for them. And I don't know if they're going to be any assistance from Toyota. Maybe they're going to, because for long serving, if you work in 5 years, 3 years or something, there might be some compensation or something there, or they might be getting some 50% of the salary or being taken, given to them now and being reduced over the months, taken off their salary. I don't know what system they put, but I know the smaller companies, they are who make the components for motor assembly. They are like virtually, if they don't open on the 15th, those companies will have to close down, Shafan.
No, but also I've noticed that the roads are in very bad shape. I mean, even if you drive on the freeway, very bad indeed. And the roads are cracking up everywhere. But you look at the prospectum here, I mean, the traffic volume is so high. There's trucks upon trucks coming there, Ahmed. And also you notice that bridge that's going out, you know, when you go towards Durban, across the robot, and there too, that bridge is falling, Ahmed, but it seems like no one's making observations and no one's doing anything about it. But I don't know how the, you know, when motor assembly is open, how the roads will stand up, Ahmed. Your thoughts on that?
Shabbat, firstly, for the first and the second flood that we had here in KZN, there's a lot of stuff that is, lots of trucks are coming from, especially from the other provinces, just to give us additional supplies to get ourselves back on our feet. That's one. Secondly, we at the city, we used to have one car manufacturing depot. Today, they have opened a completely new one. That all the roads that you'll see, there's potholes and all. You know what happens? If you have a small pothole, and if you don't fix that pothole, and when you get this rain, and that pothole become bigger, and then when there's water in it, and when you're driving, you definitely want to get a puncture. That, and you will not damage your wheel. Your rim is going to be definitely damaged. So the thing is this: we at the city, at the Kigwini Municipality, have already put in place another car manufacturing depot where they will be able to assist. They have already started. Shafat, but we must understand, everyone in the city is complaining day in, day out. Light, water, potholes, water. They are complaining. There's nothing you or anybody else can do. We were promised 1 billion rand from the national government 2 days. In fact, you heard the deputy mayor asking, and he had a debate with the Minister of Finance, debate with him to say that you're promised nothing is coming, and the people are suffering on the ground. We don't have the infrastructure. We can't even drive in the roads properly. So we are waiting for money, and the budget that was passed on Tuesday, 55 million, it will come into the coffers of the city in only July, from the our year end, 30th of June, the year end for Tigwini Municipality. The money is going to come, but it's not going to be enough. We're looking like about 30 billion to fix the whole city and give people housing. You know, if you take all the informal, you know, the informal settlement, last week I think I've been speaking about it, we only had 554 or 540 informal. The latest document I've got in my table, Shafat, you won't believe, 598 informal settlement. Those people need houses. Those people's roofs were blown off. If you look at it, Shafat, if you go out and when you go to all these areas, like which I have been, you will see, you know, our people, one thing we must make, alhamdulillah, Muslim has blessed us. You know, Allah has blessed the Muslim community in this country and all over the world. they have come up with a truckload to assist the people in the ground here in KZN, in all areas, Tonga, Bernam, Marin Hill, wherever they needed assistance, the Muslim came up there and then they assisted them fully. But the thing is, some of them even had to sell the groceries just to get some money in. So because, you know, bread and all, you can't get 3-4 loaves. You get, you know, every second day or something. Now, there's not much coming. So now they're battling, really. So we are trying to see wherever we can. If you go to all the halls, that's where they've been taken care. Those people are okay. But the people are still there in the jungles. They're still fixing their informal housing and all. That's where the problem is at the moment. If the money comes in the city, then we will be able to start delivering. There is no money because infrastructure is totally wiped off. That's how bad it is, Shafa.
You know, I'm also thinking about the municipality municipality talking about those people that are doing, overtime work. And they're saying most of them are, you know, actually not doing the work properly. And they're just claiming money for nothing. So you're going to toughen up on that. Talk to us about what the Itikweni municipality will be doing on those that are claiming overtime jobs but not delivering, Ahmad.
Shafat, first one, let me take Metropolis. Metropolis haven't been paid for a few months, the overtime. Now, you know, if you work overtime and if you don't get paid, then you're not going to give proper attention to your work and all, because you work the weekends, you work the overtime. And Metropolis complement supposed to be 5,000. In 2010, for the World Cup, we had 5,000 Metropolis officers. Today, we only got less than 2,000. How can you service a big city with 111 wards, the whole city, with under 2,000 police officers? That's number one. Secondly, they go on shift. If you put them in shift, then, you know, they work four days. They work four full days. If they work during the day, then they go you have to do night shift. And then you left with half the force. How are you going to service? Therefore, what we did, they were owed the overtime. We sanctioned that they will get the pay. They will get the payment for the overtime. But we think do not okay any more overtime. Employ the people. So the first batch of 300 people, they have already recruited. They're going to be employed. And then we want to bring the numbers up so that we'll be able to do better service to the community for safety and security. They will be able to do their work. That's what, don't give overtime, but employ the people. That's what we are saying at the moment.
Jazakallah for that, Ahmad. And also the Hawks are reported to be on the heels of a senior councillor of one of the local municipalities in the Utukela district. The councillor, whose name is known to the certain newspaper, is alleged to have been involved in cash in transit heist, which happened on Wednesday. I mean, look at this. This is a councillor involved in robbery, cash in transit heist, Ahmad. You know, how many other councillors are doing this, Ahmad?
Shafad, it's all about greed. You know, when you see is greed. If you got it and somebody else hasn't got it, then that's what happens. Then you go and look for things like that. And when you get an opportunity, somebody offered you, you said, hey, you're a counselor, man. You know the ropes and all that. He might be a good counselor with the party and everything. But because of greed, he's been influenced with somebody. That's how he gets wrapped up into things like that, Shafat. But, you know, it's greed. You need to be level-headed and you need to be strong. When you get temptations like that, you say, you know what, I'm going to walk away from this because this is not right. You have to do that. And because of greed, that man thought maybe it was easy. He wanted to cash in, and that's where he went for it, and they all got caught.
Yeah, Ahmed, I'm looking at a message from Ghulam. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Chef. And Ahmed, really great show. I want to tell Ahmed that when he joined Itikweni municipality, then the Tufan came. But in the Tufan, he's doing a good job. How do you respond to Ghulam there, Ahmed?
We must make him, tell him, Jazakallah for the good compliment. So, but, you know, I went into government at a time where Ghulam is 100%, right? When the Tufan is really Tufan,
number one. There was infrastructure, there was no infrastructure. Secondly, then we had two floods after that. So, you know, it took everything away from the city. And now, we in the bigger sakrat than what we were in when we first went in, got sworn in November. You know, we said, okay, fine, we're going in there. Our motive is, let's fix South Africa. Now, to fix South Africa, we had, you know, Allah, that is Allah's, Allah sent that devastation that you, nobody had control. Even the president or the mayor of the city, nobody knew that he's going to come and that he's going to have such a devastation in the city and in this province. But Allah knows best. You know, there might be something in for us. That must be a lesson for us that, you know what, Allah took all the bala away or something, but, you know, the people are suffering in the ground there. We doing our utmost best to assist. And Ghulam is right there. I went into government at a time when things are just not right, and I'm going there, and I'm trying my utmost best with my party and with the other parties and all that, to start giving service delivery, try and do something to show them that we are doing something for the community. That was our aim and objective, and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ahmad, you're doing well, and alhamdulillah, be a part of your one big team for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your parting words this morning, Ahmad?
Shabbat, we must make dua that, you know, Allah make it easy for those people that are really going through all this, especially Tonga and some of these areas, and people are not working. Take Toyota right from the 12th of April to now. Well, how those brothers and sisters must be going through. And then, in you know, the Eid is around the Bakrid is around the corner. How are they going to make the Eid and all that? So, you know, wherever we can help our Muslim brothers, sisters, whatever we can do for the community, we must assist them and try and do our best to bring them, make it easier for them, and Allah will bless us for which, whether it's color, creed, race, religion, they are in devastation at the moment. It is our duty to assist, Shafat.
Ameen, Ahmed. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. Inshallah, talk to you next week this time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, our counselor Ahmad Farak really keeping us up to speed, and many of you really appreciate the input that he gives us, and mashallah, very popular segment indeed.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.